You're at the tailgates of hell. The NFC East podcast for the common man. Here are your hosts, Jason Giaconia and Benjamin David.
Week 13's in the books. We got two teams eliminated from playoff contention officially. A third team who's hanging on, but they suck too. And we're down one head coach and one GM. 2017 in the NFC East. Welcome to the tailgates of hell. NFC East podcast for the common man, Ben David, Jason Giaconia. Good day over there, Ben.
Yes, New York has been officially blown up. Ben McAdoo fired because he's a bum. Jerry Reese, also a bum. I'll give him a little bit of a pass because of the Super Bowls. But a lot of changes in New York. And, you know, the season's over with now, and pretty much it's all 2018 going forward for the Giants. So I guess we'll get to that in a minute, but it had to happen today. Absolutely.
It had to happen, and yeah, we'll go over that because not much to talk about in way of the game. So we'll talk about the front office situation. So in the NFC East this week, Cowboys over the Redskins, 38-14. Lots of thoughts on that both way. Raiders over the Giants, 24-7. And a rarity, the Eagles lose this week, 24-10. They'll have to wait at least another week to clinch the NFC East. And I don't know, maybe they showed some chinks in the armor. Or I don't know. Going to be interesting, and we'll talk about that in a second. So NFC right now, Vikings 1, Eagles 2, Rams 3, Saints 4, Seahawks 5. Kind of out of nowhere. A couple weeks ago, they were floundering. And the Falcons Absolutely. Are 6, and those wildcard teams are 8-4.
I think this is going to be a great playoff. Looking at these teams, and certainly the win Seattle pulled off last night sort of showed that they can still play with the best of them. So it's a pretty stacked bracket. And as you alluded to, you know, the Eagles all of a sudden don't look like they're unbeatable and they're the number one team, when in fact they are no longer the number one team
right
in the NFC. So big shakedown this weekend for sure. 4 weeks left, maybe 5 total, but it's going to be a pretty wild finish, especially when you look at some of these teams jammed up and you know, some of the results from this weekend. So
over in the AFC, Steelers 1, Pats 2, Titans 3, Chiefs 4, Jaguars 5, Ravens 6. You look at the NFC, and that looks like an awesome playoff.
I know.
You go over the, I mean, just cancel it. Go to the AFC Championship game, Patriots-Steelers.
How are the Chiefs still winning the AFC West?
Well, this is it. This is it for them. They're 6-6. The Raiders are 6-6. The Chargers are 6-6, but
incredible. Six, is it 6 losses in a row?
They were 5-0. I don't think it's 6 straight, but I think they've lost 6 out of their last 7. They'll be making an appearance later in the show.
I mean, my God, that's like, what does that say about the AFC West? When the number one team can lose 6 out of the last 7 and still be the number one team, it's incredible.
Oh, man. Elsewhere around the league, Gronkowski, I don't know if you saw that, he suspended a game. That was, Belichick called it bullshit. That was bullshit.
I mean, and I feel bad because that guy, he hits like in the concussion protocol
right now.
So it wasn't even just a cheap shot. It takes him out of football. I'm actually a little surprised it was only one game. I don't know if he's going to appeal it or not. I'm sure he will. I think it's probably just a mandatory thing that he's going to do. But that was total bullshit. But hey, league came down quick. And I'm surprised there's not more outrage over it, maybe because of everything that went down today. You know, it got a little washed out, but really, Gronk's not like a dirty guy either, as far as I know. So very out of character, pretty bad, but he's going to miss a game next week, and we'll see if that affects the Patriots at all. Probably not.
Well, they're playing the Dolphins, so I'm going to err on the side of no, but we'll see. So let's get into the NFC East. We're going to get to the Giants second. We'll do the Cowboys and Redskins first since they played on Thursday night. Cowboys win that game 38-14. Great, good, bad, and stank for the Dallas Cowboys. So the great, God, it sucked to see, Alfred Morris. He ran all
over. You called it.
It doesn't even, I mean, and he's one of the guys that I like. And as much as I hate Daniel Snyder and Bruce Allen in our front office, if there was a guy from the Cowboys I'd ever kind of want to see him stick it to the Redskins, it'd be this guy.
Yeah, I mean, it was foretold by you, and he really did get his revenge. And so it ended up costing the Redskins big time and, you know, really pretty much put the dagger in him for the rest of this year.
Yeah, and we'll talk about them in a second. 127 yards, a touchdown for Morris. Rod Smith had 10 for 27 and a touchdown. Good for Dallas. Defense was good. 4 sacks of Cousins, 2 for DeMarcus Lawrence. 2 interceptions for Dallas. They held the Redskins to 280 net yards. I mean, whatever's left of the Redskins. The Redskins are in such a dire injury situation right now that DeMarcus Lawrence made Ty Anseki look like he was a third grader. It's pathetic. Oh, I'm getting pissed just talking about it again.
Well, you know, I know this won't make you feel any better, but I honestly, watching this game, I think if the Redskins were even remotely healthy, they'd probably be right in this hunt this year. Like, that team
for sure
is super scrappy. They don't quit, but they just sort of got rolled over in this game and didn't have it in them to make the the comeback. We got to talk about Dak, though.
Oh, we're getting to him. So the last okay. good I got is the special teams for Dallas. I mean, they had a punt return for a touchdown, recovered a Skins punt. But let's go right to the bad. Dak, he sucks.
Yeah, I think there's a quarterback controversy brewing in Dallas. If this team gets a top 10 pick, it's going to be a circus down there in Dallas because they're going to turn on him, as they always do in the NFL. He may get a sophomore slump and all that, but if you're sitting there, you're going, man, we've got a really good offensive line. We've got Ezekiel Elliott, maybe the best running back in the league, assuming he doesn't get suspended again. Going into next year, and you're looking at this guy who's got has done nothing as the superstar on that team, right. You know, and Dez Bryant too is you know, he's not a young guy. He's sort of in the twilight of being an impact wide receiver. He's terrible. I can't believe this stat line: 11 of 22 for 102 yards. It's terrible.
I mean, it's awful. That offense would. With the exception of the rushing attack, which took a while to get going, that offense was terrible. I mean, the Redskins forced a 3-and-out the first 4 possessions. It looked like they were going to get steamrolled. This, and my stank is the Dallas playoff chances. They're 6-6. They're 2 games back. They're done. I mean, they're so done. They started, like I said, with 4 consecutive 3-and-outs. I mean, the Redskins deserve to lose this game. The Cowboys were the better team on Thursday, but... The Redskins just turned the ball over like crazy, and that's why Dallas was able to win in conjunction with their rushing attack towards the end, because that offensive line, when healthy, is still good. That's the one thing that they can kind of lay their hand on at this point, and Ezekiel Elliott with, but it's going to be too little too late for them. I think they'll probably go 2-2 down the stretch just because of their schedule, but they suck.
Absolutely. I mean, it's definitely... you know, they've got the Giants this week, and now the Giants with this whole, you know, they could easily lose to the Giants this weekend when you factor in the coaching change and all like the hype about, you know, Manning, you know, all that stuff. Right. So if they lose this game, they're definitely done, but I agree with you. They're going nowhere. Maybe if they can squeak by and get Zeke back and then sort of, catch fire and maybe a team drops out, but they're done. And honestly, if, like I just said, the Cowboys got to take a look in the mirror next year and say, are we going anywhere with Dak Prescott behind center?
And Jason, I think Jason Garrett is a discussion all in itself, too. Yes. I mean, they've dealt with a lot of injuries, but, you know, he's had a couple teams that were Super Bowl caliber teams and didn't get it done then. And this was a year they were supposed to come in and.
Absolutely. And then you look at like Wade Phillips, who performed better than Jason Garrett has, really. And I think he lasted 3 seasons. Now, obviously, Wade was a little bit older. It was a different circumstance. But, I mean, whatever, the guy's still coaching. He's still the best defensive coordinator in the league. So it's like, I think Jason Garrett is such a bitch to Jerry Jones that Jerry Jones may never get rid of him. He's sort of like remember Dave Campo? How the hell did Dave Campo wind up the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys? But, you know, we'll see. I mean, I think it could be one of those things where unless they finish strong, it may be sort of a burn the house down deal for Jerry Jones. I mean, I wouldn't be confident in this team at all.
No.
At all.
And with that offensive line and the way that actually the defensive line is played, you got a good base there where you make a couple moves and all of a sudden you're really good. But those couple moves could end up being, you know, the most important people in the, you know, on the offensive side of the football. But I don't know. Prescott, going back to last year, yeah, obviously they didn't lose a whole lot of football games, but he didn't win a whole lot of them. For him, the only game I remember him really taking control of was that Packers playoff game.
Yeah.
He still lost that one, too.
Yeah, so. No, I agree. I think they got a lot of hard questions coming up, barring some sort of miraculous turnaround, but I don't see it.
Yeah. Mathematically, they're still there, 6-6, but they're one loss away from getting that seventh loss, which is what the Redskins got on Thursday. They are done, kaput, put that season to bed.
Are they officially eliminated?
No, but it's next to impossible, which kind of sucks because the past 5 years, 9-7, you know, you're looking good. In the AFC right now, they'd be sitting really pretty.
right.
But no, with the way that wild card teams are, I think they're like 8-3, 8-4. Basically, everything needs to go their way. So Redskins, great, nothing. Game was total garbage. Good defensive start. You know, they forced four straight 3-and-outs. As I've mentioned, I think twice already, Dallas couldn't do anything, you know, but their offense didn't show up and the special teams didn't show up. So they put the defense again into bad spots. They were on the field for too long. And then they just, you know, late got run all over. I mean, those, the holes that the offensive line for the Cowboys were opening up were huge. So I thought defensively they started well. Cousins was okay-ish, 26-37. 251, two touchdowns, two picks. The one pick early is 100% on Jamison Crowder, who I'll get to in a minute. But yeah, I mean, and the thing that for Redskins fans, myself included, that makes this whole thing just so shitty this whole season, because you alluded to it earlier, they're not a bad team. They've been scrappy. There's really a lot to like. Like, the way this season has gone aside, I mean, you'd like the base there, but the question marks surrounding Kirk Cousins and everything I read, I'm just like, the guy just doesn't want to be here. And so what do you do? Do you franchise him for $35 million one more time to do this shit again next year? You can't.
No. Like, no. I mean, you could. It's a very Dan Snyder. It wouldn't shock me if Dan Snyder franchised it just to fuck with him.
Just out of spite. Me either.
Yes. But I don't know. $36 million against the cap, it's going to be what, like $140 million? I don't think...
It's like 20% of the cap is what it would end up being.
Right. How do you – I mean, that's really hard to make it.
For a guy who you don't know, like, you're not – I don't know. I think if I was them, and this is something, a conversation for another day, I'd do a non-exclusive franchise tag. Franchise him, let him negotiate, and hopefully, you know, get some type of compensation out of it. Whether that's to San Francisco and maybe you get Garoppolo on the way back, which, I mean, I'm not a fan of. I want Kirk Cousins to be there, but – the one thing Snyder and Allen will do is they'll find a solution that is at least sellable to the fan base where, you know, they're not bringing in Joe Schmo off the street. But just this whole season is so much harder to swallow because of what's going on with Kirk Cousins. Bad
and
for
it's
the
also, I just noticed, like, we're saying they could have been good if they were healthy. So next year when they're healthy and they lose Cousins, does that all fall apart too, right?
Which it absolutely does.
They can't build on it. Unless they get somebody else in there. I mean, they obviously can't – I shouldn't say obviously, but if they draft the rookie, you know, clearly the expectation can't be the same. So maybe they can get a guy in – I don't even know who's available, Geno Smith maybe, to come in and do that. But it's a very precarious position for a team that's sort of poised to be decent here for a little while. So it'll be an interesting offseason for the Skins.
Yeah, we'll see. Offense, they sucked. Penalties, 7 for the game. Turned the ball over 4 times. I mean, just total garbage. Stank, Jamison Crowder almost – he literally almost single-handedly gave that game away early. Had a touchdown pass go off his hands and intercepted. Fumbled a punt, and I mean, it just fell apart from there. Last Stank, the NFL Network – really, all these networks and their talking heads, just like I cannot even watch them anymore. And I don't know if this is a product of just we have so much more access to our teams now that I think the diehard fans know more than these idiots on TV. But the way that Marshall Faulk.
Yes.
and Steve Smith were talking after the game. Cousins cost himself $10 to $20 million. He's not talking. I mean, it's just such garbage.
Yeah, they're too. I mean, I can't even tell you the last time I watched an NFL Network. It's so bad. And you know, I mean, every time ESPN, I watch ESPN football, it's like, who are these people? Like, there used to be, you know, Chris Berman and Tom Jackson and even like Chris Carter, even, you know, these were like legitimate. Now it's like Matt Hasselbeck, you know, Randy Moss, who is certainly a phenomenal player, but it's like, who are these people? It's just the whole model is obviously collapsing on itself. And that's apparent in the talking heads too. But you hit it right on that. These guys,
but you just laid off 150 other people last week.
right. You know, it goes down to these guys watch a little bit of every game instead of knowing what they're talking about, the specific things. So, you know, Kirk Cousins cost them up 10 to 20 minutes. I'm sure those idiots think they're right, but they're not. So I agree with you. The sports coverage is so terrible right now. I'm waiting for like an app or a streaming service that's actually good to show up that does like highlights and like an old sports center.
Right.
Maybe it'll happen someday, but we'll see. I did see that Facebook's getting ready to spend billions with a B on sports streaming rights. So maybe if they pick up an NFL package, we may get something different and unique. But anyways, I'm rambling. I'm with you. They're terrible.
All right, next up, Raiders defeat the Giants 24-17. What's the grade out of this game? It happened today. Ben McAdoo gets fired.
Yes, McAdoo fired and Jerry Reese fired, so general manager both gone.
So does that make you happy?
It had
too?
To happen. You know, Reese, whatever. Reese is a 2-time Super Bowl winning GM, so I'm not going to beat him up too bad. But Reese's downfall was he thought he was smarter than he really was, because I think right around like 2010 to like 2014-ish, he was taking a lot of like experimental picks in like the third, fourth, fifth round. He's like, and I think he felt like his talent was so good he could afford to take these flyers on these freak athletes, and they never really developed. So you had like this 3-year, 4-year period where they got nothing out of those drafts. He never really re-signed his players. So a lot of that was injury, so it's not his fault. But like Linval Joseph, his D tackle, he didn't re-sign it. I mean, that's like the quintessential Jerry Reese issue to me is like, I think going back, he's only really re-signed like one first round guy, maybe two, including, you know, JPP. And I don't know, it may just be JPP. So that's like a guy who is never re-signing his own draft picks. He's picking poorly. So Jerry Reese is out. Ben McAdoo fired. They had to do it. They could not go into the Cowboys game next week and have McAdoo on the sidelines playing Geno Smith. You know, there was Jay Glazer reported that there was about 20 to 30 ex-Giants players that were going to show up in Eli Manning jerseys and stand on the sideline. You know, you had Michael Strahan saying it was the most classless move. Now, Ben McAdoo got fired because of the Eli Manning thing. John Mara is not saying that specifically. He said he felt the franchise was spiraling out of control, which may be, you know, code talk for yes, it was the Eli Manning thing. Mara's sort of flip-flopping, but John Mara's stance has been, first of all, he took all the blame. He said, I signed off on it. But the story that's sort of been circulating is that Mara told McAdoo he wanted to see the young guys with the idea that Eli would start, and if the games get out of hand, they put in Geno Smith and they put in Davis Webb. McAdoo went to Eli Manning and said, you're not playing the second half. So the talk is basically that Mara and McAdoo and Reese came up with one idea, and then McAdoo went and made it his own thing. So they fired him today. They're 2-10. It's not going to get any better, obviously. This year, McAdoo's way out of his depth here, but now there's two open positions for the Giants. It gives him a jump, at least specifically on, I would say, the GM search. But Kevin Abrams, who is their cap guy, is the acting GM. I would actually anticipate that he may become the GM, or he'll stick around because he's one of those guys who's like a money guy, right? He's not like an evaluator, so he'll do that. And then Spags is the acting head coach. Mara said he'll have an opportunity to interview for the head coaching position, and I love Steve Spagnuolo, but hell no. They went through this 2 years ago where they fired Tom Coughlin and kept everybody else. So it's time to just clean house. Mara said wholesale changes, so I don't think it's going to happen. On the GM front, I would say that Dave Gettleman's probably the front runner. Carolina guy who got fired for being a dick in Carolina. But he came from the Giants. He's got a lot of history there. I should say Ernie Accorsi is leading the search. Of course, he was sort of the architect, longtime Giants GM, but he was also sort of the architect of that 07 team. Put most of the players in place before Jerry Reese took over and he retired. A couple other names. Nick Caserio, Patriots VP of player personnel. Ex-Chiefs GM John Dorsey, another guy who's really talented, but he was also fired for being a dick. Scott McLuhan's name I've heard. Scott Pioli's name I've heard.
Who is that? I've heard. McLuhan?
Yeah, McLuhan. Oh, baby.
Wouldn't that be something? You know, that's another – I'd almost love to see them get McLuhan. I mean, I say this in jest because you'd be insufferable, but – to get McLuhan and win like three Super Bowls after Bruce Allen forced him out of Washington.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is they said if Abrams becomes the GM, he's going to need like a very pro man, right? Like he'll need a talent evaluator. And who's a better talent evaluator than Scott McLuhan, really? Almost I mean, that guy is like one of the best in the league. So if you bring him in and sort of give him just that role and get him in that giant structure – he may do really well. We'll see. There's also Eric O'Brady, I think his name is, the guy from the Detroit Lions. So they're going to get a guy. I actually think by the time Tailgates of Hell season finale happens, they will have their GM in place moving forward to next year. On the flip side, the head coach, who knows? I think I'd like to see maybe David Shaw from Stanford. Maybe Jim Harbaugh. I don't know if he'd come. Matt Patricia from New England. Mm. What I don't want is like Mike Smith or some retread head coach. I don't want Josh McDaniels. I think he'll be the head guy, but or you know the hottest candidate this year. So we'll see. I don't know. There's the Vegas odds have already out. I think McDaniels is leading, but. We'll see. It's going to be a while before they get this head coach. Anyways, Ben McAdoo, you have successfully become the most hated man in the history of New York Giants football. Your legacy will be the guy who benched Eli Manning and got fired for it. I'm so happy he's gone. So whatever. Getting back to the Raiders game, I will just say a few things about this game. Number one, Evan Ingram, good game. Had a hell of a catch. He had the dropsies last week. He made a crazy one-handed catch. But he was seven receptions for 99 yards and a touchdown, so he's going to be good. Tomlinson and Harrison, two guys who are pretty much – those two guys and Landon Collins are like the only two guys on this defense who are worth a damn. JPP and Olivier Vernon, I mean, we'll get to this, but those guys were good. And you know what? I'm actually going to say Geno Smith for all the shit that was going on this week. He came in and he played all right. He didn't have a disastrous game. Now, I don't think he played any better than Eli Manning. The only difference was that he was able to scramble out of the pocket on a couple plays to keep a play alive. But that's not a plus. What that means is the offensive line that they put together is so terrible that he's on the run the whole time. So I'll get to Geno Smith in the bad in a minute, though. On the bad side, Darkwa, not a good game. 32 yards on 14 carries. Jason Pierre-Paul was just manhandled by Marshall Newhouse, who the Giants rode out of town and the fans couldn't wait to see. The guy is a terrible player, and he just manhandled Pierre-Paul. Olivier Vernon, a no-show. I don't know what's going to happen with those guys. You got to hope that the new coach gets them fired up and ready to go because those guys, there's a lot of money in them, and they are not performing up to their contract at all. The stank, Giants offensive line is a mess. It's, you know, this is an interesting group of guys because they're all playing out of position. Chad Wheeler looks lost, but he's a rookie, undrafted rookie. He's got some talent. so he may make it. But they need at least two starting caliber guys, perhaps three. They need to move Ereck Flowers around. We'll see with this line what happens. There's a whole show we could talk about what they do. I will say that there's a report that the Giants have not spoken to Justin Pugh or Weston Richburg, who are the two, you know, starting left guard and center to start the year. They're both free agents, so I think they'll be gone. So we'll see how they plug this offensive lineup, but it needs a lot of help. I will also put Geno Smith in this category, not for his play, but because on one side you have Eli Manning, potential Hall of Famer, franchise quarterback, benched by a shitty head coach trying to save his job, who was nothing but class, said no bad words about McAdoo or the team, whatever. Geno Smith got on the podium yesterday, and the first thing he did was trash Rex Ryan for saying he never wanted him as his quarterback 3 years ago. I mean, what the hell is – if there's not a bigger contrast between players, I don't know. I don't know. Eli Manning, Spags makes the call, Chris Mayer said. Eli said today on The Fan he wants to come back and play this week. So I think Eli Manning will be the starter. And about Eli next year, you know, we'll see. There's a couple directions the Giants can go. Run with Eli. Davis Webb's the future, and they just rebuild the offensive line through the draft with high picks. Or new quarterback, and we'll see what happens with Manning and the offensive line. So overall, terrible game. They're 2-10. McAdoo's fired. The long national nightmare's over. It'll be interesting, not for the games the rest of this year, but to see where the Giants, how this plays out if they get a GM quarterback. They've got Dallas coming up. I could see the Giants winning this game on Sunday. And my biggest fear now was that they're all going to get juiced because Manning's back and Spags is the coach, and they're going to go on like a little three-game tear and knock themselves out of the top five pick, which would be the biggest disaster that could happen. And one more thing before I wrap it up. They asked John Mayer if they still want to see Davis Webb, and John Mayer said he's so sick of losing. He basically doesn't care. He just wants to win a game. So I think the Davis Webb whole thing is over too. There you go. That's New York today. A lot happened on a busy Monday in whatever they call it, Quest Field, Timex Field. I'm not sure the name of their building anymore.
All right. Well, usually this is the point where we get to the good football in the Philadelphia Eagles this year, and not to be this week. Seahawks over the Eagles 24-10. Great, good, bad stank. We'll do that in just a second. But, I mean, if you're an Eagles fan, there's a couple ways to look at this. You're still 10-2. Seattle's a very tough place to play, especially on primetime against Russell Wilson. But I think you got to be just a little bit concerned because you go through their schedule, and this was easily the first. I mean, I guess you got the Chiefs early in the year who they lost to. They win in Carolina, which is a pretty good win. They won in San Diego or Los Angeles, but at the time, the Chargers were 0-3. Like, this seemed like their first, like, real test, and they didn't pass it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the sky isn't falling. There's no, you know, you don't want to say that, but, like, it's the first time they haven't been the number one seed, right? They don't get home field advantage. Like you said, it's really the first game they played a really top-tier opponent, you know, in a while. I mean, they played some Carolina, they played, but... You know, they got beat. So, yeah, they don't look invincible anymore. And we said it last week. They're 10-2, right? There's five games left. They're going to make the playoffs. Can they keep the foot on the gas of this team? You know what I mean? Or do they start to wear out a little bit?
They might have to.
You know, I said, yeah. I mean,
they play the Rams in Los Angeles this week. That's another really hard game, which I could see them losing. And then, I mean, they play the Giants, yeah, Raiders, and Cowboys, the last two at home to end the season. So I think they'll finish at least 13-3. But in the NFC this year, that doesn't guarantee you a first-round bye.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not as rosy as it was. A loss always does that. You know, they can easily get back on track. But, yeah. But, I mean, certainly you got to – you do got to go, oh, okay, you know, we're not certainly the world beater that we thought we were. That
sometimes
being said,
these games,
you know,
can be good for late in the year.
Yeah, although that Rams game, I mean, I think they're staying out on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And they've got this this Los Angeles game coming up. So big game. I'm looking forward to that game for sure.
All right, great from the Eagles. Lane Johnson had a real good game. He held Michael Bennett in check. Michael Bennett just annoys the hell out of me. There's always jawing and jabbing after. That was I was actually kind of glad Johnson kicked his ass yesterday. Nelson Aguilar, I mean, this guy came out of freaking nowhere. And now that they just locked up Alshon Jeffrey for another 4 years, that's a pretty good tandem. Seven catches, 141 yards and a touchdown. Good.
It's a good tandem if Jeffrey doesn't get suspended. I mean, the guy's right. Having a great year.
Yeah, because he's
obviously, but there's a lot of, this is an anomaly so far in his career.
I still thought the Eagles D-line did a good job of getting to Russell Wilson. It was just the difference this week is you're playing Russell Wilson who can scramble out and make plays right. And not a guy who was sitting in the pocket. So thought that was pretty good for them. Brandon right. Graham had a sack and a half. And the Eagles still had 410 yards offensively. But they made so many mistakes. There's only one touchdown and 10 points for the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, the story, right? They were able to move the ball, but they couldn't get it done. And, you always sort of feel like with the Eagles, and I don't know, it's not so much the team, but like Doug Peterson, there's always sort of this like, yeah, but with them, where you can always sort of scratch your head, and they're just so good that they've always overcome it. But today they sort of ran into a better team than they played perhaps, and it caught up to them. So on the flip side, the bad there, the rushing attack was not so good. Jay Ajayi only 35 yards. Wentz the number two with 30 yards, and then LeGarrette Blount with only 26 yards. So almost, a little bit over 90 yards there for but that's not good. You don't want Carson Wentz to be your number two rusher, and you certainly don't want him to be number two by only, 5 yards. And then the Eagles secondary had a pretty bad night. Ronald Darby, Patrick Robinson, all had some bad calls. And, I don't know. It's Russell Wilson playing in primetime at home. Like you said, it's sometimes going to be very hard to stop.
So last but not least, the stank, the Wentz fumble into the end. I mean, there's two plays you could look at that cost the Eagles for the game. Wentz fumbles into the end zone and the Eagles lose 7 points there. And then as Seattle's going to go up two scores, Russell Wilson pretty clearly had an illegal forward pass. As he's
I know.
If I'm an Eagles fan, that's my number one worry, is that your head coach did not fix that or challenge that.
I can't believe he didn't challenge that. I mean, what is he thinking? Why wouldn't he challenge that? He's an idiot. Doug Peterson to me, I know. That's what I mean. It's like, oh, God, one of those things. But, hey, it didn't cost them the game, but it probably cost them the game, So they're going to win the NFC East. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But they're now the number two seed. There's a lot of good teams. You got the Vikings above them, and the Rams and the Saints are nipping on their heels. The Saints, are 9-3, I think, and I don't know what the Rams are. Maybe they're the same, 9-3. So it's like there's not a lot of wiggle room for that bye week and that home field advantage. So Eagles got to get it back together here pretty quick. And they're in, like I said, they're in danger of losing that first round bye.
All right, quick break. Back with the Stank Rankings here on the Tailgates of Hell.
You're listening to the Tailgates of Hell, the NFC East podcast for the common man. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes or Google Play.
All right, we're back with the Stank Rankings. We're getting close to the end of the year here. Are we going to do a final Stank, like an overall Stank Ranking for the year? I think we should.
Everybody who doesn't make the
anyways,
makes the Stank Rankings.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, at number 28, Jason, your week. Go ahead.
They were an honorable mention last week as more of a joke, and they may still be in a playoff spot right now, but the Kansas City Chiefs are one of the worst teams in football over the last 7 years. They stink.
It's terrible. I think they're still keeping Alex Smith. I know Andy Reid's not doing play calling anymore. He gave that up this week. So Chiefs better figure it out quick because they got the Chargers and Oakland, who's not that good, right on their tails. All right, number 29.
They're climbing. They're scratching and clawing their way up the Stank Rankings. They were number 31 for most of the year, and they pick up a win yesterday. The San Francisco 49ers, despite no touchdowns, beat the Chicago Bears 15-14. They still stank, but they got some things to be proud of. They're still in the stank rankings, but I think they got some things that they can look at and be happy about. They're building, they'll be off soon.
Go, Jimmy, go. Keep winning those games. All right, number 30, a team that looks like it's probably all over for them. In fact, it is all over for them.
Do you remember a time, I think it was probably like week 3 or week 4, that the AFC West looked like the best division in the history of football? Yeah, not
yes,
anymore.
Yes, seems like a long time ago now. You know, it's the curse of the Giants. The Broncos lost to the Giants and never won again. The Chiefs lost to the Giants and never won again. So it's pretty rough. This team, I mean, the Broncos are very, very bad. They're going to be right in that quarterback hunt, too. So I've got to make sure the Giants stick a little bit ahead of them. And speaking of, number 31.
I guess if nothing else, I mean, this is a good day. I can feel, how happy you are compared to the last few weeks. Giants stink.
I think definitely above last week.
Oh, man. They stink. But, I mean, if you're asking me, I think about 9 months from now, when they're picking a hot, new, team who are going to turn it around, I'd be surprised if the Giants are not on a lot of people's lists.
Yeah, I mean, it's over. It's like clean slate. Everybody knows it's going to be a new deal next year. So, at this point, it's just get through the season. Figure things out, and now I think it will truly be the end of the Coughlin era, because all these assistants are going to be gone. Eli may be gone, new GM, it's going to be a total reboot of the New York Giants, and a team that needs not a reboot, but maybe a lobotomy is the number 32 team.
So, there's never been a Super Bowl parade in Cleveland, but they have it approved that if they go 0-16, they'll have a perfect season parade. And I just have a feeling they'll set that up too and find a way to win in week 17 by a field goal against the Steelers. What can you say about the Browns? I saw a tweet this week. They are, since Thanksgiving of 2014, it's going to be 2018 in 20 days, they're 4-45.
Oh my God. Who would even want to, coach there? You know what I mean? When they fire Hugh Jackson, although, you know whose name did circulate in Cleveland this week?
Who's that?
Jumbo Jeff Fisher.
Oh, God.
You know what, though? He'd be the perfect guy in Cleveland to go 8-8 for the next 20 years and make that fan base even more miserable.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, that's it. That's the stank rankings. I have a feeling that the Browns are not getting out of number 32 this year, but we'll see as the season continues to rumble and roll. So, Ben David, Jason Jaconia, that's the Tailgate to Hell. Week 13's in the books. Almost only a few more weeks left of the National Football League.
Thank God.
For all the latest NFC East news and opinions, check out tailgatesofhell.com or follow on Twitter @tailgatesofhell.